You're listening to Beethoven's Piano Sonata No. 17 in D minor, Opus 31, No. 2. The performer, 25-year-old Ivan Moshuk, born in Russia, raised in Grosse Pointe, right here in Michigan. Ivan has been playing publicly since he was a young teenager. He is the first Michigan artist to win the Gilmore Young Artist Award. That was in 2010. And he's gone on to perform in concert halls all around the world. After spending time in Paris, Ivan is back in Detroit, home to continue his performing and recording career and to help boost Detroit's cultural and classical music experience through an arts initiative he's founded called the Detroit Session. So we have a lot to talk about as we say. Ivan Moshuk, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, good to have you here. I got to ask, when did you discover the piano? How old were you?
About seven or eight years old. I was looking toward my brother. My brother played a little bit. He didn't play professionally, but it was enough to draw my curiosity to the instrument, and I couldn't stop. I started, and I just kept going. And I've loved music. I think my family had always the music present in the house and in our lives, and I think that really left an impression on me as a child. I listened to all kinds of music, and that's definitely that love for music that drove me to that instrument.
But it's interesting because there's so many instruments and so many ways of expressing yourself through music. And I'm wondering what it was about the piano that made you go, you know what, that's the one. That's how I can express myself.
Well, we had one. I think that's a start. That's a start. And I don't know. It wasn't really much of a choice since then. I never even really saw it as an instrument. I don't think I still even look at it as an instrument, but rather just as a way to communicate my ideas.
Now, you moved to Southeast Michigan when you were, what, about four with your parents?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So then you found the piano, but I read on your website you actually wound up spending early years taking lessons for gifted children at the St. Petersburg State Conservatory.
Oh, yes. So that's an interesting twist. Now, we did go back and forth a lot between Russia and Michigan, but I was fortunate enough, one of my earliest teachers in music was a former pedagogue at this school in St. Petersburg. Now, she retired to Michigan, and that's actually where we met. So we met in Michigan, and she didn't take any students. She had barely any students, and I played for her as a young boy, and she agreed, I think, to say, okay, well, as a hobby, you know, maybe I'll take you and we'll see what we can do. And I was fortunate enough, to stay with her for a solid, until the time I left high school.
And that's something. Now, did you expect to have a career as a pianist? Was that in the game plan?
Oh, I don't think anybody ever expects to have a career in the arts, but definitely not me. My parents were scientists. My brother is also in science, and it's been a blessing because the world of art has opened my mind so much, I think, and has taught me all these life lessons. And on top of all that, all the art that I've been fortunate enough to see and study, and the music that I've had the chance to play.
The world you've had a chance
I guess the world that I have a chance to see has been really remarkable.
Ivan, who are some of your favorite composers to perform and why?
I think, you know, for me, it's really about the idea that I need to express. I always, you know, as much as I need to interpret this music from the past, I always try to choose the composers that really reflect an idea that I have in the present moment. You know, for example, actually, even this June 9th concert, you know, really the idea was, how can I reflect this city? How do I capture this energy that's happening there right now with the music that maybe has been written? But, you know, this music is timeless. You know, that's what makes it incredible. And picking a program that really could channel that. And I ended up with this selection of everything from Scriabin, who was this, you know, early 20th century composer, to Ravel, who actually came to Detroit also at some point in his life, and DiCera, who's a living Detroit-based composer.
Yes.
But really, I think the highlight is the Liszt Sonata, which is this kind of landmark piano piece, which actually, when Liszt played it for the first time in his life, was a complete failure. Nobody understood it. Nobody liked it. It's gained popularity these past years. But now I think it's time to reinterpret it, this sonata, represent it, because people associate it with the Faust story, you know, with the idea of Mephistopheles and Gretchen and Dr. Faustus. But I think really dramaturgically it also works well with the story of Detroit, especially the past 20 years, the past 30, 40 years of the city, this ups and downs and these trials and tribulations, particularly this resilience, I think, that's present in that piece, I think is very much at the core of what we stand for here and the people that live here.
And so, I know with your studio recording, Forgiveness, and I found that an interesting title to choose too. We hear Rachmaninoff, we hear Beethoven. So, and certainly the piano literature is just, you know, you can't even measure how much better for their contributions. So they must speak to you as well.
Yeah, you know, there were several layers to that project. On the very surface, I just wanted to kind of capture this idea of forgiveness and art, you know, that what is beauty without forgiveness, without some kind of flaw that makes it special. On the second layer, I definitely wanted to capture what forgiveness meant to these composers that I chose. And I think it really, for the composers that I did choose for this project, you know, Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, I mean, forgiveness was a very important thing, a theme in their life, and especially in the works that, you know, this, for example, the 17th Sonata, when Beethoven wrote it, this was exactly at the time when he was really considering ending his life, and it's actually the only sonata he wrote in D minor, which I think is a very important key in music. I mean, D minor is very, it's like this, for me, is really the true contemplative key, you know, the serious thoughts. You know, like Mozart's Requiem in D minor. I mean, you just can't mess with that piece. You know, can't touch that piece. Yeah, so D minor, you know, I think every composer saves that for his, they're really, you know.
Let's pull out the stops. Let's turn it up to 11 and really get them, right kind of. Yeah. Now, I know you've got this upcoming performance at Orchestra Hall, June 9th, and afterward, you're going to have the official launch party for the Detroit Session. So I want to talk about this initiative you founded called the Detroit Session. Mm-hmm. What's the goal? What is it?
This is such a simple idea. I can't believe that it's grown to the way it has grown, and that we're actually even going to have a launch party, and that we're going to keep going with this. It started, you know, when I came back about a year ago, I just had this idea, you know, it'd be really great to channel some more creativity into classical music through interdisciplinary collaborations. And so I began approaching some of my artist friends, painters, and in theater and in dance, and we just thought, you know, let's take this music that we've played for years on end in maybe, you know, more or less the same way, and let's see if we can really put it in a new context. And it's basically a vehicle to present these kinds of unusual experiments. It really is it's an experimentation platform. We're going to have a taste of that on June 9th when we're going to do this Ravel, the Gaspar de la Nuit, with contemporary dance sitting. And I think toward the future, I could see this as being a vehicle that could present these one-of-a-kind events, but really build the community around it. And I think that's one thing that we might be missing in classical music is a solid, grounded, supportive community of artists, you know, that just look toward each other and compete not necessarily for a career in music, but compete for really who has that really amazing new idea. What's next? What's that new idea? What are we researching? What can really push us forward and make the performances better, make everything better, you know?
It sounds like that's your view of the responsibilities of a classical musician in 2016 in Michigan.
Many responsibilities, but definitely one of them. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. What else?
I think first and foremost to the people. I think we have maybe detached ourselves a little bit from audiences. I think we don't rely as much on the people in our concerts because in many ways, I mean, there are many great things about the nonprofit structure that we have. We're supported by very generous donors. But in a way, numbers don't lie. We, you know, 30% of revenue comes from ticket sales, if not less. And to me, I think this is something that eventually we are going to have to address. And this is a question for the 21st century in the sense that if classical music ever becomes viable again, I think we have to replace that motto with something more viable. And I think being more connected to our audiences. Artists and audiences have to discover a new relationship between each other. We need to just, you know, there's no easy way around building audiences. And I think that's all eyes on that for now. Yeah.
Well, we have posted a video Yvonne has made, A Vanished Present. You'll find that at the stateside page at michiganradio.org. And again, the upcoming performance is at Orchestra Hall this Thursday, June 9th, and it'll be followed by the official launch party for the Detroit Sessions. And you can learn more about that at the website, thedetroitsessions.com. Ivan Moshuk, it was a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you so much.